Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
UFC icons to serve as special guest referee at WWE Extreme Rules. Dax Harwood calls out Tony Khan following Royal Quest last night, and Vice TV to premiere a Vince McMahon documentary later this month. Hello and welcome to the Solo Sunday News here with myself, Andrew Pollard, here at What Culture Wrestling. Be sure to have a great day, whatever you do. And of course, be sure to like, subscribe, comment, share, turn on the notification bells, all of that jazz. But again, as always on a Sunday, the priority is you have a good day, whatever you're doing, whether it's something, whether it's nothing. I hope it goes exceptionally well for you. And going exceptionally well for me today is the news that Daniel Cormier will serve as a special guest referee in the Fight Pit match at Extreme Rules next weekend. So, of course, obviously, the Fight Pit is going to put Matt Riddle against Seth Rollins again under the confines of a match that it's kind of billed as in Riddle's favour, because obviously Riddle has an MMA background, competed in the UFC, although he hasn't actually won one of these fight pit matches. Timothy Thatcher's the one, either one. But it is Riddle versus Rollins, and we now know that Daniel Cormier, DC, a former UFC heavyweight champion, a former UFC light heavyweight champion, a former Grand Prix winner over in Strikeforce when that was a thing. Yes, DC, Daniel Cormier, one of the greatest fighters of his generation, is going to be at Extreme Rules. Now, while I am extremely, no pun intended, happy to hear that Daniel Cormier is going to be at Extreme Rules, there's a little bit of me that's sad because it's not Ken Shamrock. It was just fan speculation. It was people, I guess, trying to will it into existence that the Ken Shamrock would be a part of Extreme Rules, because Ken Shamrock, of course, former Intercontinental Champion, somebody who I thought that Ken Shamrock, there was so much more that you could have done with him in WWE. It just felt like there was a spell where he was one of the most entertaining people to watch just because of nuts Ken Shamrock doing nuts Ken Shamrock things. The intensity on that dude was and still is over the top. Turned up to 11, the intensity there. And some are thinking that maybe, I mean, if you need a special guest referee, Kurt Angle refereed one of these matches, well, one of these fights back in NXT. And you think if you need somebody to come in and serve as a guest referee, somebody who has a legitimate background, somebody who has a legit reputation as being a tough son of a gun, and somebody who has ties to WWE, what better time than to bring back Ken Shamrock? But we didn't get that. We're not getting that, which makes me sad. I need to see more Ken Shamrock. Side note here, I happen to, one of those things when you're thinking, I need something on to cheer me up a little bit. What can I watch? I'll go back and watch like Ken Shamrock or Tito Ortiz confrontations. There's the press conference where, what was it, Shamrock says he's going to kill Tito with the living death or something, and just Tito Ortiz just laughs, and then Shamrock flips a chair, and it's great. But anyway, this is going to be of course next Saturday's Extreme Rules. And then also a fun little tidbit, Daniel Cormier does have some sort of previous with Seth Rollins, because there was a video doing around a few years ago. Cormier DC was in attendance for WrestleMania 31 when Seth Rollins carried out the heist of the century, which was misspelled as height of the century on Raw this past Monday, on the little logo graphic that comes up when Seth makes his entrance. But yes, DC was there, and he filmed his reaction to Seth running down, cashing in, and he's losing his mind. Maybe that'll be addressed, maybe it won't be addressed. Probably won't be addressed. One thing that was addressed last night, admittedly, I believe slightly tongue-in-cheek, was Dax Harwood addressing basically why are we not having more done with us in AEW. To me, FTR, hands down, easily the best tag team on the planet, already one of the greatest tag teams of all time to me. during that conversation. If you look at it, like, the you're making your list of your 10 favorite tag teams, 10 greatest tag teams of all time, they're in there. The Young Bucks aren't. No, not having that. But before I get heat in the comments, brother, that's Dax Harwood. It was New Japan Pro Wrestling last night. It was Royal Quest night one, and it was FTR versus Aussie Open for the IWGP Heavyweight Tag Team Championships. FTR retained, and afterwards Dax grabbed the mic, thanked the fans there in attendance for coming out, put over Aussie Open massively as the future of tag team wrestling. But also before that, there was a little nugget where I've got the quote here. First things first, Tony Khan, we still work for you. Buck us, brother. And it was done in a kind of a tongue-in-cheek way, half-jokingly. Maybe there's a kernel of truth to that, or of a serious point, because it's farcical, man. It's absolutely farcical what is happening with FTR in terms of their presentation on AEW television. Now, when they're there, they're presented strong. They're presented as a strong act, as a strong tag team. They're one of the most popular acts in the company. The pops for FTR are insane. This is something like, because to me, they're just the perennial, constant, forever bad guy teams. And so to see them getting the reactions they're getting now, it's like, it's nuts, and it's great to see. And you've got this act that is so over, and the people are clamoring to see, and yet you don't really do much with them. Now, FTR have been ranked number one, the number one tag team contenders, since the 6th of April. That is, as of this recording, that is what? 4 days shy of being 6 months. So they've been number one contenders for 6 months, because rankings matter. And they've not had a title shot during that time. It's insane. And in the time since they won the IWGP tag titles in June at Forbidden Door, they've only been in three matches for AEW. That's it, since June. This is just like, I don't know, it makes no sense to me. It's a strange old situation, and especially when it seemed like we were on that perfect collision course for FTR versus the Bucks 3 when the Young Bucks, of course, had the AEW tag team titles, and you just thought, right, you've got FTR with the AAA tag titles, with the Ring of Honor tag titles, with the IWGP tag titles. You've got the Bucks with the AEW tag titles. They're drawn at one apiece in their previous two matches. It's there. And that is a match that could genuinely, to me, I think you can main event a pay-per-view with that, with the right build. And instead, we didn't get it. The Bucks lost their tag titles to Swerve No Glory, who have since lost them to the Acclaimed, all while FTR have been the more contenders. So, yeah, just a fun nugget there from Royal Quest. It was Jamie Hollis, who is down there in London watching the New Japan shows over the weekend. He brought that to the world's attention by popping out a little video. You can find that on Twitter. Just see Dax, exactly how it's put across. But one last other news nugget to wrap things up with before I will get to some questions. It's a relatively quiet Sunday today, which means something big is probably going to happen just as I finish work later today. But Mike Johnson over at the PW Insider has reported, it was his exclusive first to report, that Vice TV is to premiere a Vince McMahon documentary later this month that will cover Vince's entire career, including his enforced resignation/retirement. Now, this could be interesting. Vice TV, of course, is the home of Dark Side of the Ring as well, which is just a phenomenal series. Why in the UK have we not had season 3 yet? Come on, man. Are you trying to force me to look in dodgy places online to find it? I just want to watch it on my TV. Anyway, Vice are currently producing, putting together this documentary on Vince. It's not known exactly who's going to be featured in it, apart from Brian Alvarez and Dave Meltzer at the Wrestling Observer have confirmed their participation in this. But other than that, it's not known who else is going to be a talking head in it. It's not known how deep they're going to go on Vince, but you'd imagine if you're going to cover his whole career and you're going to cover the murky ending of that career, then to me, it's like, well, what other scandals? How long is this documentary going to be? Like, what other scandals do you get in there? I'd imagine the steroid scandal will be touched on. Does the Nancy Argentina stuff come up with Jimmy Snuka? Do they go into that? It's going to be an interesting one. And it seems very much warts and all the good, because there is plenty of good from Vince McMahon's career. Of course, let's not take away from that. But there's also that murky underbelly of stories where it's like, oof. But yeah, this is going to be a fun one to watch. There's no date yet and no premiere date, just that it will be on at some point in October. So it's going to be some point this month, which it's one to keep an eye on. There's also, I think, Netflix are working on a four-part docuseries. And there was somebody else. I can't. Was it maybe HBO? Looking into doing something. But yeah, there's going to be lots of Vince stuff across these next few years. There's going to be lots of these documentary series, and they're going to be fascinating if done in the right way and delving into the right topics. Speaking of topics, it's question time. I feel like there should be some like sound emoji. Editor Ryan, anything we could do? No. Sound emoji? What's a sound emoji? Sound, I meant. Geez, man, you can tell I've had maybe too much coffee today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
But the first question's coming. It's from Tom Talks Rubbish, who has a really cool YouTube channel. Go and check that out. He's does some great interviews with a lot of people who are involved in doing stuff like I do. Normally they do it better than me. But yeah, he's done interviews with myself, with Michael Hamlet, with Andy Murray, with Adam Warborn, with a bunch of us here at What Culture and in other wrestling outlets. So it's really cool to go and check Tom out. That's Tom Talks Rubbish on YouTube. But he's asked a question for Sunday's video. Should AEW use Rampage exclusively for ROH until it gets its own TV deal? As you can see, a lot of people complaining that currently it's taken away from AEW product. I can see an argument for it, because at the moment, okay, you've got all of these Ring of Honor champions, you've got the ROH World Champion, you've got the ROH TV Champion, you've got the ROH Women's Champion, where is Mercedes Martinez, you've got the ROH six-man tag team champions, you've got the ROH tag team champions. I'm sure I'm probably forgetting something as well. So, of course, the pure champion. Yes. So you've got all of these belts for a company that basically doesn't exist. It exists in name only. So they need to do something with ROH. What that is, I don't think you use Rampage. I think at the moment there's too much AEW talent. There's so many people on that roster who don't get AEW statuses, who don't get anywhere close to adequate TV time. And I think if you start taking up a chunk of that, if you've only got 3 hours of weekly TV, because I'm not counting Dark and Dark Elevation, but if you've only got 3 hours of weekly TV and you're going to use one of those hours to be dedicated to this other company, I think you do a disservice to your AEW roster. And first and foremost, AEW it's AEW. ROH is a great little get for Tony Khan to have and to do something with somewhere, but AEW is a priority. So if you've got an episode of, I don't know, you look at something like Miro, again, criminally underused, Andrade, Malakai Black, who seemingly wasn't too happy with his situation there, but who knows. You've got so many talents, you can go weeks at a time without seeing Ricky Starks or Powerhouse Hobbs. And there's I talk about FTR, I've only had 3 TV matches since June. Nuts. So you've got all these talents who aren't on TV. So it's like, I'd use the time you've got for AEW talents and look somewhere else for ROH. Maybe it is a YouTube channel for now, a YouTube show that ROH gets. They get just something to put that brand out there to give fans a destination to go to where they know, like, right, if I tune into YouTube on whatever channel, the Ring of Honor channel, I'd imagine, on a Tuesday, I know I'm going to get an hour of Ring of Honor TV or something. Just do something. Honor Club, even, I guess, could be an option. Right, where are we? Coulter Strandhouse. Happy Solo Sunday. Happy Solo Sunday, Coulter. Treat yourself to some extra coffee, and I do not need extra coffee this morning, trust me. And I do not need donuts, trust me on that one. I've been eating so unhealthy lately. And I don't have donuts in. I do have coffee, though. If you were to cast one pro wrestler as a horror movie slasher, who would you pick? Hashtag Solo Sunday News. I mean, Kane kind of comes to mind, but we've had that in See No Evil. But some of the comments he's making these days, the real life Glenn Jacobs, far more evil than any fictional movie character, should we say. I mean, The Undertaker's a shout. Papa Shango, man, that'd be cool to see. But I kind of go back to CM Punk. I think he'd make for a great villain. I mean, see, there's the girl on the third floor, second floor. I've seen that movie like twice, and I'm that floor, whatever it was. And he was really, really creepy in that. And there's a really weird CM Punk sex scene, which is something I never thought I'd ever see, and I didn't really, like, come on, Phil. But yeah, I think Punk can make like a good, creepy, chilling, maniacal, maybe silent but deadly, like a fart. I don't know where that came from. Yeah, he could be like the silent but deadly sort who just creeps around menacingly. I think Punk could be a great shout. If you don't want to go with the obvious kind of monsters, like a boogeyman even, or a Snitsky, or something like that, Heidenreich. I mean, there was that creepy segment yeah with Michael Cole where it's like, where is this going? So, but yeah, if I'm going with Juan Coulter, I am going with CM Punk. Right, Hector Garcia III. Hey, Hector. Book your closing sequence of Roman losing the titles. I know this won't be it, but Roman goes for a spear, Sammy leapfrogs, Roman misses, head crashes the turnbuckle, dazed, he stands up and slumps in the corner, Sammy comes in for a Hoover kick, covers 1, 2, 3, and new. I'd be for that. I think that could work. For me, I mentioned this a few weeks ago on here, and I don't think it's my own idea. I'm sure I heard it first on Solomon's Sounds Off. I'm sure it was a listener there had sent this in to Jason Solomon. Big shout out to him. Solomon's the fantastic content for years. I've been listening to that guy. What a talented dude. And also lots of Bret Hart love all the time. So, hey, I'm that demographic. But yeah, there was this idea I'd heard where you'd have Seth Rollins, because it is, we're coming up to this November is going to be the 10-year anniversary, or 10 years since the Shield debut, that Survivor Series 2012, when they, of course, came out, helped CM Punk retain the world title. So you've got that. You've got 10 years of the Shield. Obviously, there's Crown Jewel in the way, but my ideal way of doing it at some point would be not to take both belts off Roman, but to split it in a ladder match with Seth. It doesn't have to be Seth, to be honest. It nicely comes together because of the Shield element and that anniversary. But you'd have it where it's a ladder match with both belts are there, and just as simple as one person gets one person unhooks the other. And it's like, oh, right, okay, well, yeah, because then you don't beat Roman Reigns, which is a good thing. But also you are branching those belts back out into two separate entities where you can take one. If it is Seth, for instance, you go over to Raw and you've got a big belt on either show. And also that sets up nicely for a certain Cody Rhodes to come back at the Royal Rumble and win the Rumble and then go after Seth Rollins to reignite that and then to get the world title that way. That's one option. I think that's a great idea. Your idea sounds cool as well. I'm down for that. I think I would love to see Sami Zayn. I'm so intrigued, entertained, engaged, fascinated by this story, the Bloodline story. Sami Zayn, man, killing it. I know people talk about wrestlers of the year. That's a conversation that's come up quite a lot lately. John Moxley's clearly a lot of people's contender there. Roman Reigns obviously is in that conversation. Roman Reigns, of course, he just topped the PWI 500. For me, Dax Harwood's having such a banner year. I think as well, that conversation in terms of wrestler of the year, does it count because he doesn't wrestle as much? But Sami Zayn, performer of the year, should we say, he's been killing it. So yeah, Hector, if your plan was to play out like that, I would be absolutely fine with that, brother. Mark Salad, what's up, Andrew? Happy Sunday. Happy Sunday, Mark. Thumper and Apollo are shooting to me in the maximum male models. Wow, I'm looking at that. I hope you can see these pictures here. Thumper and Apollo there looking... I don't think Max would be too happy because clearly they're not taking the wrestling too seriously and they're just more focused about the modelling, but look at those cute little faces. Looking a year or so into the future, who beats MJF for the title? I'd say let him hold it for over a year and Jungle Boy or Darby Allin beats him. Simple. The War Dog. Or the pig, piggy, Wardlow beats him. It's Wardlow's world and all that jazz. That's where I go. I think it just seems like the natural way to do it. You have MJF win this title whenever he's going to win it, and then just have lots of underhand wins over whoever, until, obviously against whoever these baby faces, until just the monster Wardlow catches up to MJF. You can even do it where you could do a couple of matches, I think, with that. There's clearly enough story to warrant that, and you could have MJF cheat to win, and it's just a case of eventually Wardlow finally gets him in a singles match with whatever ruled out, I don't know, whatever Max has been using. If it's the diamond ring, you take that out of the... Just basically the classic, the villain gets his comeuppance. and I come up and see his Wardlow. And I think that's what I would do personally. I think Darby Allin is a good shout. Jungle Boy, I don't know. If we're talking, say, in a year's time, I don't know if you can get him to that position, that sort of position for a world title by then. And Darby is a strange one, because I think you could do it with Darby. But again, he seems to lose a lot of big matches lately. But they're two decent shouts. I think Wardlow, though. Oh, hey, Swerve, brother, it's going to be CM Punk. He's going to come back. I don't know if we'll see CM Punk in the confines of All Elite Wrestling again. I hope we do, because the dude, whether you love him or hate him, he is he's a game changer. He's an attention grabber. He brings attention, be it good or bad. What's the old saying? There's no such thing as bad publicity, I guess. Well, unless you're Vince McMahon. CM Punk has had the wrestling world talking about AEW for since All Out. Obviously, since before All Out, but it's just been the hot topic. So maybe it's CM Punk. I'm rambling now, so I'm just going to stop. I'm going to cut myself there, and I'm going to go home. I am home. I'm going to go and carry on working and get some more coffee, because that's clearly needed. But this has been the Solo Sunday News with myself, Andrew Pollard. Be sure to like, subscribe, comment, share, follow, turn notification bells on, and all of that stuff. Most importantly, as ever, whether you're doing something, whether you're doing nothing, I hope you have the best possible Sunday. It's going to be a good one. Hopefully it's already been a good one. And if it's not been a good one, hopefully that turns around for you. Be sure to come and follow us at WhatCultureWWE on the Twitter. Follow myself if you want, at CultureLeftPeg on the Twitter. And that's about it. I'll be back next weekend. I believe brothers Murray and Wilborn are back tomorrow with your news on this Monday morning. And I will catch you soon.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.